Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, October 30th. One more day in October, and then next week we have the elections on Tuesday. Mm. Looking forward to that?
You don't care.
Don't care, right?
I know I should. I just don't.
You gotta care.
I don't.
Listen.
I care about the animal. Like, anytime I see the animal vote commercials, I'm like, I should probably be voting for that.
Right. No, but you're right. If you don't know what's going on, why vote for something you don't know?
And I'm not a California resident right now, technically. Yeah. So I'd have to like get on a plane and like hop all the way back to Massachusetts.
Really? Because you're not registered voter here, huh? Mm-mm. Wow. Okay, well.
One day.
Yeah.
Not today, though.
Not today. So. Welcome to the show, everybody. We have a great guest waiting here. We'll get to him in just a moment. Yesterday's guest was fascinating. I mean, do you believe how smart she was?
Mm-hmm.
Had all these things and... languages and martial arts and USC and
I was
movies.
Like checked out yesterday, if I gotta be honest with you.
I know you were, but that's okay. I can still share it with the listeners.
They were probably like, what is wrong with
her? You weren't half here.
No.
Because emotionally you were gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm okay today.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You recovered from the trauma?
No, not really, but I'm just like, fuck it.
Yeah, exactly. It's got to be that.
So, like, the last time we hung out, I was like, hey, like, can the next thing I want to do is I want to go to Korean barbecue because I've never been before. And he's like, well, I haven't been in a year. I have a really nice spot. So to be petty Betty, last night he posted that he was at Korean barbecue. I'm like, you did that on purpose. And any man that'll go out of his way to do that to upset me means you care. Like, you haven't been to Korean barbecue in a year, but you're going to go just so you can post that you went. And he posted, like, two plates so you would know that he was with someone.
Really?
Yeah.
So what the hell's wrong with this guy? And he hasn't written to you yet?
Oh, kind of.
Okay, so he's gone. You gotta write this off.
Mm-mm.
What?
I'm just going to let him be mad.
He's gone.
No, I don't think so.
You see, you keep fantasizing that something's going to happen.
I don't technically want to be with him now because there's just too many red flags, but I also would like to be his friend because we get along really well.
Yeah, but so does he want to be a friend?
I don't know how you can be friends with me after you slept with me.
Right.
Because it's like now every time we hang out, like, what are you really thinking about?
Right, exactly. But, you know, I don't know.
Am I wrong there, though?
You are setting yourself up, I think. You already did, and you got... And you crashed at the movie theater.
I know. Oh, God.
She waited for him at the movie theater.
For a half hour.
Yeah, thinking he's going to show up just because she invited him. Jeez. Listen, you have to understand something. From what you're saying, this guy has a lot of money. Okay? I can't imagine he's going to be like tied down to one woman. When young guys have... a lot of money, they usually want a lot of women too.
Why is that?
Because
I just
they
don't
can.
Understand it.
Because they can. Because that's...
It's like a power thing? Like just because I can't have this woman because I have a nice watch or a nice car, I'm going to sleep with her?
No.
Even though I have like someone I actually care about?
Well, maybe they don't have anybody to care about. You know what I'm saying?
Or maybe they only care about themselves.
Yeah.
That's crazy to me. You know, I feel like if I was rich, I'd still only want one dude.
Right. You know, and when you spend that much money on yourself on stupid things like that, like a fucking Lamborghini, man. I mean, come on. You could be... I'm not saying he should help anybody. You know, I don't really help anybody. But come on, man. It's like it's too much, you know?
But that's like everyone in Los Angeles.
Yeah, so. Well, that's what I'm saying. So you got that type of a guy, and you're expecting him to be marriage material. Nah.
No, I don't want to be with him now.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Those feelings are out. Now it's just strictly like, I get along with you so well, I want to be friends with you.
Okay, so just cut off and let him come back to you or something. Like they say,
yeah,
if you
if
love
he
somebody,
he doesn't love me for sure. He would have never made me stand.
No, but you love him, maybe. So
no,
set him free.
I definitely don't love him. I don't think I've ever been in love, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I think I get in love with the idea of it.
Right. Yeah, we've spoken about that, but... I don't know how many people can truly say they've been in love. I mean, I remember when I was young, I thought I was.
Right.
But when I look back, I don't know if it really is, you know? I mean, what's love really? I mean, you know, if it's wanting to be with that person all the time, then yeah, I've been through that before.
Same. Like, if that's the definition of it, then yeah, for sure, I've been there.
And you have butterflies, and you really want to be with that person.
Right.
You want to do everything for them, right? Things like that.
Yeah.
All right. So do you have that with him?
Yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a one-way thing, though.
I don't know, Sam. I know this is messed up, but I feel like he's doing this because I said, oh, I'm going to cut you off and you're going to hate every second of it. He's like proving a point. Like, I don't think he necessarily enjoys not seeing or talking to me.
All right.
Like, the fact that you would go out of your way to go to a restaurant that you promised you were going to take me to just to post that you were there. Like, that's quality effort for someone who doesn't give a shit.
Well, maybe you just gave him an idea to go to a barbecue place and he went.
Maybe so. I don't know.
Somebody else.
I don't know. He's me in a guy's body, so I know every move he makes is calculated. Literally. I'd be doing that. I'll post stuff on purpose.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you're going to see this today.
Yeah. I know. Some people do post, like, directly.
Yeah, like subliminals. Else,
right? Yeah, yeah.
Without adding them, tagging them, nothing. But this is about you, and this is for you.
I know. And then everybody starts thinking, is she talking about me?
Yeah.
Is that me?
That's a problem if you have multiple people saying that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What can I tell you, man? So, okay, well, we're going to bring on our guest in just a second. And I was thinking about something.
Yeah, and you lost the thought, obviously.
No, I didn't really lose the thought. I'm just wondering if it's really worth talking about, wasting any time.
If it's political, no.
No, well, yeah, I guess. Yeah, no.
Not the mood today.
Right.
Yeah, like, nah.
But you did hear about the synagogue being...
yeah, of course I did.
Killed there.
Yeah, that's awful.
Yeah.
It was one shooter, right?
Yeah, one shooter. But, you know, I mean, this shit has happened for millennia, thousands of years.
Yeah.
People want to kill Jews. I don't know why that is, but you know, it's funny because I realized many years ago that this is a hatred, anti-Semitism, right? Hating Jews is a hatred that's so ancient, it's older than any other hatred that people have towards anybody.
Right.
Not only that, but it has a name. It's called anti-Semitism, you know, hating Jews. Do you have any other hatred that has a name? No, because this is like, so I figured this is like built into the DNA of humanity.
Right.
Okay. And like that people just like don't like Jews. And I don't know what it is. Many times you'll ask people, they don't even know what's wrong with Jews.
I feel like I wouldn't ever be having a conversation with someone or meet someone and be like, hey, are you Jewish? Like I just, that's never.
Right.
I feel like that's never even been.
But
like,
if it came up, you know.
I wouldn't. I mean, to be honest with you. It means nothing to
Doesn't
me. Like, yeah, it's like
you,
it's right. A, whatever.
Right.
Like when people say, "Oh, half of Hollywood is Jewish," I'm right. Like, "What does that even mean?"
Right. Which it's true, probably. But I mean, look, everybody here is Jewish, you know, including myself. So but it's unfortunate because when you look in history and stuff, it seems like people always looked at Jewish blood is like cheap. You know, we can spill Jewish blood, no problem. Mm. Right. Nobody's gonna say anything. And so that's why I don't understand it. So I say it's in the DNA of humanity. The other guy, the other day, this guy wrote, anti-Semitism is the default setting for Earth. And you know what? This is pretty much the same thing. It's like if you don't work on it, you're probably by default going to not like Jews.
I don't see how you can just not like Jewish people. Like, yeah, it's just weird to me.
I don't know, but there's always had to be somebody that people blame things on, you know, so.
Mm. On that note, at the memorial, I believe they had, Donald Trump played Pharrell Williams' song Happy.
Uh-huh.
And Pharrell just sent him a cease and desist to never play his song ever again.
Really?
Yeah. I love it.
The song Happy at a funeral?
That's what I'm saying. He even said in his letter, he's like, there was nothing happy about what was going on.
Right.
And yet there you are playing. And that song is like extremely happy. That's like what you play like when like something great just happened to you. Right. You're like doing the dishes or something. But not when you're mourning the lives that were just taken. uncontrollably.
I don't know. I don't understand this. I can't continue and apologize for the stupid things that he says.
Or does.
Or does.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, let's bring in our guest right now, because if we get to politics, we've gone too far.
Like I said.
Yeah. So we're going to bring on our guest right now. Your microphone is on. Welcome to the show. Good morning.
Thanks, Sam. Good morning.
And we're joined by Zach. Is it Yellen Flaherty?
Yeah.
Okay. And but you go by Ziles because you're a musician. And
Ziles is my artist name. That's right.
Ziles. And you prefer to, it's an easier name to remember.
That's
not many people
trip,
like
yes.
that, right?
Yes.
Wait, what do you mean? Zach's pretty easy too. Well,
yeah, but no, but what I'm saying, Ziles is not a lot of people like that, so he can be
remembered. Oh, right.
Remembered.
Right, right. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a cool name.
Yeah.
For sure.
Thanks.
Like, I might name my kid that. I might steal it.
Yeah, you know. But it's good to be a one-name artist and something, you know, mm-hmm. like Madonna or something.
Right.
But, well, this is cool. So, now, before we go on, then explain Ziles to us. How did you end up from Zach to Ziles?
So, Zach is a short name, but the entirety of my name is quite long. And so, I was sort of searching for a stage name generally. I actually spent a bunch of time in China.
Mm.
And it's a derivative of my Chinese name. So it's kind of a re-romanization of my
What's name. Your Chinese name?
It's a, yeah, it's a Li, but it's the Zi Li part is kind of the first
name. Gotcha.
Zi Li? Is yeah. that what it is? Yeah, Zi Li, right? That's
yeah,
what
yeah.
it says?
Yeah.
Wow. What does it mean?
That means Zach, right?
Kind of. Chinese names are a little interesting. There's, in general, it doesn't really have a meaning, but each character has a certain amount of meaning.
I see. Okay. Yeah. So everything has a meaning. Even names there have meanings and things like that.
Right.
Oh, wow. Very interesting. How long were you in China for?
Yeah, 4 months or so.
Really?
When I was in college. Yeah.
Oh,
did you
see.
Love it?
It was great.
Really?
What was it, like an exchange program or something?
It was only
a few months?
It was an immersion program, so I took a semester and studied over there.
Really? What was it like for you?
Well, so China is a very different place.
Yeah.
Right.
And they have their own set of ancient history, and we're very Eurocentric here. So it just sort of expands your horizons. You see, you know, it's as far as you can get entering another world, essentially.
Right.
Really, huh?
I feel like every horror film has been based in China.
How?
Like The Grudge, The Ring. No, The Ring was, I don't know if The Ring was.
The Ring was originally a Japanese movie.
Yeah. Like yeah. I feel like every horrifying horror film has uh-huh. been made in Asia.
Probably.
For the record, I said nothing about China being horrible. or scary.
No, he did it. I'm just saying.
She did.
Because you said it's another world, essentially. And as soon as you said that, it just took me to The Grudge.
But you liked your experience there.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's a long flight.
Yeah, it's a long flight.
But I mean, for 4 months, I guess it's kind of worth it. If you're going for like 10, like my roommate just went for 10 days, and I was like, that's a lot for 10 days.
Really? To China?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my brother lives there, but I don't think I'm going to go, not in this lifetime. Maybe next time around, you know.
I don't think I'm going to go either.
It's just too big for me, too different, too weird. And kind of scary, too, you know? I mean, there's still communism there and shit like that, you know? I mean,
No,
but they make dissidents disappear and shit, still.
I don't know anything about that, but...
It was a complicated political climate.
Yeah.
As is everywhere.
Did you, like, wander around, or did you stay on, like, a campus, and you just, like, were strictly on the campus?
I lived in a international student's dormitory. Mm-hmm. I had a Chinese roommate, but I mean, I was in Beijing, which is a big city, and so
right.
a lot of parts of China were pretty accessible.
Right, right, right.
Yeah. Did you find it very crowded everywhere you went?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would sort of go to the wilderness, and there would be a lot of people there.
Yeah, you see, there
oh,
you
really?
Go. Yeah.
It's Did not... you visit that forest?
I don't know what forest.
Yeah, they must have a million of them. It's huge. China is huge.
What a basic ass question. Did you visit the forest while you were there?
Yeah, right.
No, the forest, they made a movie about it. I'm back to the movies.
Well, that's what I figured.
Know that Logan Paul just got in trouble for filming there. It's where people go to hang themselves.
I think that's in Japan.
Okay.
Okay, there you go.
I feel bad, man.
Paul, you're on the same continent.
Yeah.
Don't talk to her about geography. Okay?
I'm horrible at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, very cool. And when was it when you were in China?
That was 2012.
So 6 years ago.
Yeah, it was a while ago.
Wow. Very cool.
Do you think
you'll
ever go back?
Hope to.
Oh, that's good.
Sure.
Yeah. What about communication with people? Were you able to communicate with... It's hard to communicate with the locals, right?
Right. Well, I spoke some Chinese, so...
Oh, you did?
Oh, really? Yeah.
Oh, that's what you were learning.
Yes.
Oh, okay. That makes sense then.
Yeah. And we were just talking about this yesterday.
Yeah.
I told her, I said, I think anybody who doesn't know what to do with their lives,
mm-hmm.
and they want to make decent money quite fast, mm-hmm. is to learn Chinese and then be a translator or something, right? You can do this. I mean, I met this woman who just puts Chinese people with American or American real estate with Chinese investors, and all she does is translate.
Right. Right.
And she makes, just imagine, you make a little percentage out of each transaction of real estate there, how much money you can make.
Do they give a translator a percentage for a real estate?
No, she did more than just a translator.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is you could start there.
I'd be like, that's legit.
But you're able to do business with them, and that's a whole different ball game, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Cool. So you were telling me earlier you're from the Bay Area.
I live in the Bay Area.
You live in the Bay Area. Where are you originally from?
I'm from New York City originally.
Oh, really? New York City. Wow.
Mm, I'm from Boston.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, related.
Mm-hmm. Neighbors.
Yeah.
Completely different worlds, though. New York and Boston are very different.
Really? Mm-hmm. Have you been to Boston?
A few times.
Really?
Did you like it?
Yeah.
It's all right, right?
Yeah, it's all right.
So where did you go to college?
I went to Stanford out here. So.
Oh, really? Stanford in the Bay Area. Wow, that's... We got another smart.
Wait, so do you live in the Bay Area now?
Yes.
Okay, so you're just visiting LA.
Yeah, so I have a show tonight.
Oh, okay.
At the Mint, and so that's what brings me to LA.
Okay.
Right. And we're going to get to that and everything because Zach is a musician.
Styles.
No, I know, but it's also Zach here, and he said you can call me whatever, right?
Well,
Go by Ziles.
I guess, yeah, as I'm here in my capacity.
Okay, so Zach.
Musician. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ziles it is.
Oh, Ziles. Okay. That's right.
No problem. Hey, it's easier to remember. But so you're a musician, and we'll get to that in just a second. I just wanted to ask, so when you went to Stanford, what were you majoring in?
Computer science.
Computer science.
Yes.
Wow. So you're a pretty smart kid, good student.
Yeah, I worked hard at the studies, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. You see, that's what it is, man. It's hard work. Did you have parents that sort of like not pushed you, but... encouraged you
to be a good,
Wow. You see, that's the thing, man. Some parents don't really care, but sometimes they do, but the kid decides to take a different direction, you know? I've seen that happen.
Yeah, I mean, from what their parents want?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, parent should tell their kid how they should live their life.
No, but they should give him guidance. Like, you should really, well, what's wrong with, like, encouraging your kids and making sure and being strict that they go to school and do very well?
Because what if you don't want to go to school?
Well, you go anyway.
No.
Yes.
If my kid ever looks at me and says, Mom, I'm not going to college, I said, all right, do you?
Oh, you're talking about college now.
Well, Danielle, let's talk about this because you said you're going to name your kid Ziles, so I think I have investment here.
It's a possibility. It's on the list.
Right. If it happened, then, you know, pay to me.
Well, no, I'm just saying, I don't feel like parents should, I feel like obviously they should be encouraging, like, if you do go to school, get good grades, like, what's the point of going if you're going to fuck it up? But
right.
I don't think parents should be like, if you did want to be a musician, they're like, no, you have to be an accountant.
Right.
You know?
No, but look, that's that's later on in life. I'm talking about when the kids are small. You know,
I mean,
and that's when it starts.
If what do you mean by small, like kindergarten?
Well, no, but, you know, maybe starting at middle school, because in elementary, most kids are doing well anyway. But once you get to, they start separating their skills and their abilities.
Yeah, like in middle school.
Yeah, middle school and so forth. So I think if you start letting your kid know, listen, this comes first, this is what you need to do as a minimum in your life, I think I don't see anything wrong with that. You know, then you go to college or you finish high school. Yeah, at that point, you're old enough to decide what you want to do with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Right. Well, sort of small children don't have as much capacity to make their own decisions. And so, but there's a spectrum, right? Some kids are more able than others.
Mm-hmm.
And some parents are more likely than others to make good decisions
right.
on behalf of their children. So This is there's a tremendous literature that I have not contributed to.
Yeah,
I would defer to some experts, but that's my general thought.
Yeah, I won't know until I actually have kids, to be honest with you.
Right,
because I might be at that point where I'm like, no, you're not doing that.
And even then, you probably won't get it right till the third one.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you have any siblings?
I do. I have three younger brothers.
Three younger.
Oh, it's
brothers.
All boys.
Yeah. I know, that's usually the way the parents do it. It's like they have one boy. Oh, great, we got a boy. Another one. Oh, great, we got a boy.
Then, and then they go for the third for a girl.
Yeah. Oh, we got a boy again?
Yeah.
So then they go, well, the fourth time's got to work. But again, they get a boy.
Wait, so you have three. Mm-hmm. So there's four of you.
Four of
them. Wow.
Yeah. You see, I know a family like that, and that was a story.
That's a lot. I don't know if I could handle four boys. I'd be like, oh, my God.
Well, you wouldn't have a choice, and you'd love all of them.
For sure. Marcellus is a lot, and that's only one of him. But I feel like he'd be like more chill if he had like a couple of brothers.
Yeah.
Like just like if he wasn't by himself.
Probably,
you know?
Yeah.
So are you the youngest?
Oldest.
No, he's
you're the oldest.
Yeah, he said.
How old are you?
26.
Okay, so you're still a baby.
That's about what I figured when he said he went to college, blah, blah, blah.
I was
6 years ago, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, made sense.
Yeah.
Very cool. And are you guys rather close, the brothers?
Yeah, they all live in LA now, actually. And they're coming to the show, from what I understand.
Aww. That's awesome, man. So, okay, so let's get to the music a little bit. When did you start? Well, tell us first what it is that you do now. What do you really do with music right now?
So Xyles is my pop artist project. So I'm a pop artist, or Xyles is it's pop music.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, I write music, collaborate with a bunch of producers and musicians to bring it to life, and then, you know, bring it to the people is what I'm working on now, and,
mm-hmm.
Playing shows and promoting and whatnot.
So. Right.
Very
so
cool.
When did you discover that you could, like, sing?
It's something I enjoyed to do when I was very young. So.
Right.
Yeah. What about instruments? Do you play any instruments?
Yeah, so I've been a guitar player for a very long time.
That's and that helps with the singing. You know, many people that sing, they realize the guitar is the best way to do it, you know, because it sounds good. I mean, I know early on that my parents wanted me to play piano, but when I heard a guitar, I'm like, that's what I need because I want to sing with it.
Right.
So what age did you pick up the guitar? Early on?
Yeah, I must have been around 12. I mean, I had sort of had encouragement from my parents to be doing music from an early age. So I did a lot of piano and things. And
right.
So very little, did violin and whatnot in elementary school and class. And I think I even picked up some horns and the drums at some point. But I ended up taking the guitar and running with it when I was through my teenage years, definitely. And I think I started right before then.
Right. That's about, I think, when you start doing it. Because I think once you reach your teens, music starts playing a big part of your life, you know,
right.
For everybody, you know, some become singers, but I think the teens and music go together, you know, because I also realized it becomes like the soundtrack of your life, you know, later on in your life, you always like the same music, you know, and like, for example, I like 60s, 70s, 80s. I love that because that's when I grew up, you know.
Teenagers were
70s, the 60s. You know, so, but many people are saying that too. I mean, that's why, you know, older music exists, you know, because many people still keep it alive.
But I don't think that's necessarily true because I don't listen to the same music that I did when I was like in my teens.
Well, maybe not now, but you will later. I promise you.
Oh, for sure. But I listen to all different types of music. I don't have.
I know, but because I don't know. Music is different today for my generation. Everybody I talk to, it's like, what kind of music is this? You know, it's not even music.
Oh damn! I love music today.
But you know that I know. But you know, the funny thing is, our parents said the same thing. When the Beatles came around, you know, and we were listening to the Beatles and they were saying like, what kind of music is this, you know? And so, generations change, you know?
Yeah, I know. We're both in the same boat, I think.
Well, of course, because you grew up with the same friggin' music. That's what I'm trying to tell you. So now, I'm pretty sure you started singing on your own. Like covering music songs and stuff, right? Or did you start early on making your own music?
Yeah, I think both. I mean, music's been a form of expression, and I think as especially a guitar player, the ability to write opens up really quickly.
Right.
So that's something I had been doing, you know, for as long as I can remember. And sure, maybe, you know, maybe before that I was mostly just playing other people's things. But
yeah, so you've written a lot of material yourself?
Sure, yeah.
Oh.
That's awesome. So yeah, how does that work? Like, how do you write a song? Do you write a song before you have the background music, or you need the background music first?
It depends. These days, my process is typically I'll start with a concept and mm-hmm. then try and come up with melodies and lyrics and then start setting it to music.
Right.
But I mean, in the past, I've worked more closely with music first. And I think this varies a lot by musicians.
That's yeah. true. That's cool.
Wow. So so you've been playing guitar for a while and stuff. Do you play electric or just acoustic or both?
Yeah, both.
Yeah?
Yeah. In the pop sound, the electric guitar has been pretty relevant, especially standing next to a bunch of super produced instruments and whatnot.
Yeah. Very cool. So you got into the professional side of things with your music. How did you connect with some of the people, like producer? Did you do everything yourself, or
no? I collaborate.
You have to collaborate.
Yeah, I mean, I've you know, check older stuff on my SoundCloud that was all me doing the production, but I think at this level, it's been helpful to work with people who have a lot more experience or have specialized a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, much like a lot of other disciplines, eventually you start specializing. And so currently, my specialty is songwriting, and you know, I'm working on my chops sort of across the board.
Right.
But I've been lucky to work with some pretty awesome musicians and producers as well.
Very nice. Very nice. So do you want to give a plug to anybody who you're working with right now? Or
yeah. So there are these guys in New York, sort of a production pair, Elliot Jacobson and Chris Leon. And they've been sort of really, really encouraging and very talented. And I've sort of it's been inspiring bringing the songs to life for them.
So they're back there and you're here and you guys collaborate that way.
Yeah, usually I'll sort of immerse myself in their studio for a certain amount of time.
Very cool, man. Mm. So let's listen to some of your music. We have a couple of your songs here.
Sure.
And so we have Secretary and we have Sundresses. Which one came first? Which one did you release first?
I released Sundresses first.
Sundresses first. And
I love Sundresses.
Yeah?
They're my fave.
I know. I like them too on women.
Doesn't all men.
what was I going to say? So, and when did you write this song, Sundresses?
I think a little more than a year ago, probably. Probably last end of summer, fall.
Okay, so the process was you had the concept, you wrote the lyrics, and then the music, or the music and then the lyrics?
That's right. I mean, they do happen together.
They do for you?
Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting, because when I wrote songs, I'd always, well, sometimes if you have like a good riff or something, then you'd start with the music and then put words to it. But often, you know, you just write the song like a poem or something, you know, and then you put music to it and stuff. But and then you said you can do it either way, you know, it just depends. So for you, it comes together, huh?
Right. Well, there's a notion of reinforcement, right, where you have, you know, melodies and chords, and you sort of have either sketches of either, and then you write the opposite to complement it, and then you're like, okay, well, actually, maybe this melody needs improvement. Okay, now these chords need improvement or whatnot. And then, you know, I guess lyrics is another variable too. So they do grow together. And then, I mean, you can say that the very first concept to hit paper is the one that inspired it, but it is a collaborative effort across all sides there.
Mm-hmm. Great. So now when this was recorded, were you in the studio with other musicians, or was this done like separately?
Yes. So, I mean, I sort of wrote it and, you know, at home over the course of some amount of time. And then, you know, I brought it to these musicians and producers, and we spent, you know, 3-ish days in the studio just bringing it to life.
Really? Just that one song? Okay, so now I'm curious to hear it. And so let's listen to Ziles with Sundresses.
There they go. Oh, wow. Sundresses. Oh, wow.
It's got a hook right away, huh?
There's one. one more spot in the limousine, queen bed in the B&B, tension to release. I tangled with the locals, and they were pretty cute.
I love it.
Catchy. You're good, man. This is like...
it's like 80s music.
That's what I'm saying. It reminds me of stuff from... That's why, you know, when you say you like today's music and stuff, this is not typical of today's music.
Yeah,
this is like more like
different.
Classic pop music. Because you have a good melody to it.
Sure.
You know?
I mean, I don't necessarily agree with that statement. I think there's a lot of great music today, as there was yesterday.
No, of course, of course. But
right, for
it's
sure,
different
but
styles.
This
though.
Is definitely a different style.
Right?
Like, this is something that, like, that's a feel. Like, that's a really feel-good song.
Right. It's got a great melody to it, mm-hmm. you know. Yeah, well,
thanks.
No, I mean, that's why music is great, because people like different things and stuff, you know. But...
Wow, this on Apple Music.
I would play this a lot.
Yeah.
This song.
Go ahead,
know?
You should.
Yeah. I'm literally downloading it.
I just want to see her undressing. Bikini.
And your voice, man. I mean, that's unbelievable.
Yeah. She exits no. Am I spelling it wrong?
Z-Y-L-E-S.
I compliment the tastings. I love the way to celebrate vacation.
There you go. You know, this is music to listen to, man. I definitely... So, tell us about your performance. So, that's tonight, right?
That's right.
So, if people like this music, you can go and listen to a lot more of it live.
We're playing The Mint.
Is there a cover? People like to know.
I think it's $6.
Oh, God, so it's nothing.
You can handle that.
Not too steep.
For sure.
Yeah, you have enough left over to buy a drink and
right.
tip your bartender.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. And tell people, where's The Mint?
It's in L.A.
Right. But where?
I'll tell you right now. I'll Google
central.
It.
Yeah, I figured you would know probably, right?
I've never been, but I've gotten invited to so many shows there. I actually think it's down the street from my house.
Oh. Because
I think I took a Lyft pool one time, and the girl got dropped off at The Mint for... a show, and it was like 2 seconds away from my house.
Oh,
I'm pretty sure. I'm gonna check right now.
Yeah,
not to all the stalkers out there. They're like, oh my god, The Mint, she lives by The Mint.
So it's The Mint in Los Angeles in Hollywood. And what time is it at tonight?
9:15, I think.
9:15,
a few minutes after that.
Right. So is there like a few performances and you're one of them, or
yeah, there are a few artists.
Sounds good. So yeah, just so people know what they're looking for when they go there, you know.
The Mint is on 6010 West Pico Boulevard, so it's like kind of by, it's like in Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, good for you.
Thanks.
So just the one time performance this time around?
Yeah, we just played in San Francisco last week. Just one show down in LA.
So do you have a regular band that you perform with?
Yeah, there are a few guys I've been playing with. Just for a month or two now. So, you know, the show is certainly coming together nicely.
Very cool,
mm-hmm.
huh? So you put a band together pretty much for yourself. That's awesome, man. Yeah, let me play a little more of Sundresses.
Well, let's play the other song. There's two.
Yeah, we will.
It's so funny because we've had so many musicians come on here and, like, you would not expect the voice that comes out, you know? It's like,
right.
Wow.
That's
right.
True.
The singing voice.
Yeah.
It's pretty unpredictable.
Yeah.
Very
it's
nice.
Like, where does that come from?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Did you take voice lessons at all to improve what you already
have? Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it helps, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, that's one thing I never did, man. I love to sing, and my voice has changed over the years, but always loved to sing, but I never really took lessons, and so you don't really know how to use your breathing and stuff, right?
Right.
Unless you do, right?
I mean, just like so many other things, so many people have done it before you and figured out what works.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And there is something to be said for finding your own voice. But at the same time, you can use techniques that have existed for ages to improve whatever you have going on.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Actually, one thing that's particularly admirable about sort of vocal coaches and voice teachers is that if you're that there's so many different ranges, right? You can be a man who sings as a bass or a woman who speaks as who sings as a soprano, and those are like totally different instruments, and you have one person who's there teaching
doing the all same, of them, yeah.
Right? Which is kind of what you think about
that's true.
Anyone learning the saxophone or something. Well, I suppose there are different types of saxophones, but it's pretty sort of well-defined depending on what your instrument is. And then when you bring a voice to somebody, they actually have to decide, like, what is your instrument?
Right.
Start teaching.
Right. Yeah, a voice is definitely an instrument. This is very cool. So in a couple of moments, we'll play Secretary. Because now that we heard one song, I'd like to see what else you could put together and stuff. So, but tell us just briefly about Sundresses, how did the idea come about for the lyrics and everything?
Well, so it's a summery song, I think, as I'm sure you could tell.
Yeah, definitely, for sure.
That's what you picture when you think Sundress is a summery song.
I feel like it should be on the soundtrack of, like, Riverdale.
Is that a TV show?
Yeah, it's, like, the best.
Oh, is it, like, with Archie and...
Yes!
Sabrina and all
Sabrina,
that?
No.
Oh, no, that's Sabrina.
Veronica, Archie and Veronica.
Veronica, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's, like, kind of, like, got that...
Doesn't she have a friend, Sabrina, on there?
No.
On the series, at least, on the comic
She has a best friend, but her name is definitely not...
Not... Okay, whatever. Yeah,
but at least
on.
You knew, yeah.
Yeah, go on.
But I feel like you should try to sell that to them. I feel like it's just, like, that type of song that would work perfectly for, like, a scene in that show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, so have you considered, like, doing that for, like, shows and movies and things like that also?
Yeah, I think
writing
we're...
songs.
Yeah, we're a little early, but that's definitely something that I'm interested in pursuing.
Yeah. Right. So what is the grand plan for you? How do you see yourself a year from now, 5 years from now?
Right. Well, I don't want to speak too far in the future.
Right.
Just because I don't know.
It's hard to know.
I mean, I'm currently searching for an audience, right? And so we'll sort of see how things shake out. But
right.
I don't know exactly what my audience is going to look like yet.
Are you Are you good with social media?
Yeah, pretty decent. Working on it. My Instagram is popping for sure.
Okay, that's good because that's where it all
Styles
starts.
Music.
Yeah. Yeah. And YouTube, are you like...
No, not so much on
YouTube. You need to get on YouTube.
Well, so I have a video coming out for Secretary most likely this week. And so, you know, we'll start directing people there.
Right.
As well.
But definitely do YouTube. So many people get discovered on YouTube. Even if they're just doing covers, it's like people that literally specifically only sing covers will have like millions of fans just for covers. Like they don't write or do any of their own music. It's just like...
And YouTube allows them to use the music?
Mm-hmm. I don't think they can get paid off the videos.
Right. Okay.
Because it's not their...
Obviously, their original
work.
They haven't paid for rights.
Which sucks because some of these cover videos are getting like 5-10 million views.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends what you're selling, right? And I mean, my intention is to sell original music and and whatnot. And so.
Right. But if you're on YouTube and you have your original music on there, it'll blow up.
Yeah. Do that, especially if you're making a music video.
Sure. I mean
where would you show it anyway?
The recordings are up there on YouTube Music and whatnot.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Because, I mean, where else would you really... The first idea that comes to mind is YouTube when you do a music video, wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, that's where it'll
show
live.
It,
but there's a difference between treating YouTube as a place where sort of one piece of content lives versus as a platform that you can sort of deeply engage with.
Right.
And I think at this stage, because YouTube is... I mean, there are YouTubers, right? And it is their job to...
Make videos
that are sort of at a certain high level. And so there's just some thought about what is your platform and what do you want to invest in?
Right.
You know, as a musician, YouTube could serve that purpose, but it's not currently my focus.
So where do you plan to put it so people can see the video?
Oh, no, it will live on YouTube.
Right.
Oh, okay.
But that's very different from like becoming a YouTuber or something. Like
oh, no, no, right, I don't think you should become a YouTuber. But for instance, like new music, like sometimes I'll be watching like a video and then a random video I've never seen before will pop up.
Oh, no, that'll happen with
me. Yeah, and then I'll click on it. And then the minute I click on it, I go to my phone and I download the song. And I had no idea who this artist was like 5 seconds ago.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right,
that's something we're doing.
That's what I was thinking. Not, oh, you should be a YouTuber. I think you should just put your music out there because more people will find it and then they'll go to their phones and download it on Spotify or Apple, you know?
Absolutely.
That's true.
Yeah. Like we got lucky because we get to hear it in the studio. But if we weren't in the studio, it would probably be something where I was watching music videos and then you popped up on the side.
Yeah.
That's like kind of what happened to this guy, Connor Maynard? Do you know who I'm talking about? He's from the UK, but he did covers, but then he started making originals out of covers, and I had no idea who he was.
Making riddles out of
so it'll be like the beat to like somebody else's song, okay, but it's completely different lyrics.
Oh, I've heard that before. I have a favorite song like that, but
yeah.
But go on. So who is that though?
It's what just songs? Some guy that people found on YouTube, and he just would put his covers on there.
Right.
And I found him on YouTube, and I downloaded his music on Apple. But now he's like a mega hit now. Like he's a star.
Yeah.
Yeah. All off YouTube.
Yeah.
I wish I could sing. I can't.
Yeah. You know, this reminds me, like, since we're on the topic of taking music of somebody else and putting a new song on it,
mm-hmm.
What I want you to see is, or what I want you to hear real quick, is I want you to tell me what song you think this is.
Am I going to know it, though? Because you sometimes be playing music that I'll have no idea.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's see. Maybe you will, you know. Maybe you will, but let me just play this for a second, okay? No, this is not it. Come on. Well, because it's like a video right before this, right? Okay, check this out.
Speed. Oh, yeah. Wait, hold on.
What do you think that is?
Well, it's
Hall & Oates. Okay, Hall & Oates, right? Like, I
would have never gotten that.
I can't go for that, you know? But then, oh, you wouldn't know, you don't know that original mm-hmm. song, so it doesn't matter what I'm going to show you. But the thing is, the fact is, it's not at all. This is Simply Red.
Right. I mean, this is a huge feature of
right?
some cultures of music. It's a little less popular with pop, I suppose.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Happening.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so I want to get to Secretary. So if you're just joining us, we're talking to a Bay Area artist named Ziles and checking out his music. So here's Secretary.
She used to sit atop my desk so that my face was level with her chest. We talked about our loss, our securities, our thoughts. I was strong till she came along. Cause I can't get shit done when she's bugging me, but I can't turn away from the candy. What's an hour of misery? I wanna cut ties with the secretary, but I don't wanna be on my own and wait for another to what's 8 years of misery? I can't even say that she's tempting me. Her fire was just too much to grieve. We're so weak.
I like the lyrics. I mean, who writes about secretaries? So you came along and you wrote one. Now, what's the inspiration for that?
You fell in love with a secretary?
No. Well, so there are actually a few levels to the song. I think on the surface, it's sort of purely emotional in that the narrator knows that he should separate from the female character, but is having a little bit of trouble.
Right. Okay. Right.
And then her role as a secretary is actually derivative of like some old, literature around hiring secretaries
mm-hmm.
and is actually, there's some optimization problem where basically you're faced with a set of secretaries and you need to hire the best one. In order to do that, you need to say no a lot. Right.
Right.
And so we're just sort of conflating, you know, it's also sometimes referred to as actually the marriage problem, because in order to find the right partner, you have to say no to a lot of
right.
lovers and people who you're it's more likely true. To stay attached to in the meantime. So that's where the imagery comes from. But it is sort of primarily just like a song about separating.
Wow. Mm. Interesting. But I love the melody and the singing too.
She joked about her bond. We locked eyes. I had no work friendly response. That elevator down was tense, taking in each other's fragrance. I went home. I wish I'd gone alone. Cause I can't get shit done when I don't sleep. Forget about the dress with no sleeves. She says, baby, don't think it'll be fine. I never buy that lazy design. What's an hour of misery? I cut ties with the secretary, but I don't want to be on my own and wait for another to come along. When 8 years of misery, I can't even say that you tempted me. A fire was just too much to grieve. We're so weak.
Love it, man. I'm really curious to hear what other stuff you're going to come up with. You know,
I mean, there's more music coming.
Really?
Yeah, I think we're trying to release one more this year, and then probably an EP early next year.
Well, you're running out of time. There's only 2 months left.
Oh, I know, right?
No, I understand.
Yeah.
For this year.
That's crazy. Oh, my God.
But I really like the style of music. I mean, I could totally listen to a whole album of you.
Mm-hmm.
I really could. You know what I mean? Until I listened to the music, I didn't realize really how good you are.
Thanks, Mom.
You know, I mean, yeah, because you can't tell, you know, because that's what he delivers, the music.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, for sure.
Produced very well. And are any of the musicians that played with you on the song, are any of them in your band right now?
No, so we have a brand new set of just awesome live musicians.
I see.
Coming tonight.
Wow. And how many tracks are you going to sing tonight?
I think we're going to do like 11 or 12 songs.
Really? So you have that much time to actually... It's going to be a pretty big show for you.
Yeah,
then.
I think we'll do sort of 45-ish minutes of music.
That's
so
crazy.
So you can fit 12 songs into 45 minutes.
Well, 3 minutes per song.
We'll see. It'll be... I mean, so we talked about this after our show on Thursday. Is, you know... Depending on how the audience is responding, we sort of have the ability to, you know, stretch out some tunes. If people are dancing, you know, let's not cut them off. Let's keep them dancing.
Right.
If we keep doing that, you know, maybe we won't get to one of the covers or something. But we plan to play for a while.
Very cool, man.
Does anyone else in your family sing, or are you the only one? Like, do any of your brothers sing?
They do some music.
Yeah.
A couple of my brothers are doing more of the sort of Hollywood side. These days,
like acting,
writing primarily.
Oh, cool.
So I mean, there's musical talent. I'm the one sort of pursuing it the hardest these days,
right?
Yeah, but obviously you're a creative family, which
right.
is pretty cool.
I know that's super cool.
Very nice. Okay, so one final time, tell people how they can see you, how they can listen to you.
Right, so we're playing at the Mint tonight, 9:15. Come by. Danielle has no excuse because she lives right there.
I know. It's actually not. It's not next to my house.
No.
But it's close enough. It's like 15 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not that bad.
And then Zyles, Z-Y-L-E-S. You can find it wherever you find your music. Spotify, Apple Music are the largest platforms these days.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, have some strong visuals on Instagram these days. So Zyles Music is the handle there. And yeah, so, you know, a couple songs out now, music video coming, and another song this year. So
awesome.
Very cool. Yeah, go on Instagram, you get some cool pictures there with you and the guitar and pretty women and everything. It always goes together. Right. Yeah. There you go. Well, listen, Zyles, it was a pleasure having you.
Thanks for having me
here. You know, you're definitely talented, man.
Mm-hmm.
And I really see you succeed. And like I said, when you find your audience, you know, don't try to sell your music where people wouldn't get it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you got to find the right. But believe it or not, you're a young man, and yet you captured me with your music. So there you go. With your permission, if you want, we'll run it. We can run it a couple times a day.
Sure,
rotation
please.
And stuff, you know?
Yeah, keep playing it.
Yeah, because between shows, we play music and stuff. So
yeah.
I'd love to put some of your music there. It totally fits.
I'd be thrilled.
Awesome. Well, Zyles, so you guys, if you want to find him on...
Instagram.
On Instagram, that's Zyles Music. You're also on Twitter and Facebook and all that, too.
Yeah, Facebook, Zyles. Not so active on Twitter these days.
Right.
No one really is.
Nobody is, yeah.
Yeah, it's...
It, like, dies down. I tweet, like, maybe twice a week. And I used to tweet, like, multiple times a day.
It seems like a little bit more of a minefield where it's a little bit less positivity.
Right.
That's true.
Then Instagram in particular. And then... Who knows?
Yeah. Instagram's kind of going down
go.
The shitter.
Well,
too.
Zyles, we wish you all the best, my friend. Take care. And I'm going to really make an effort to come tonight because I think it would be cool. I really do.
No, yeah, it'll These songs are going to be quite strong live. I'm very excited.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, that's it for today, folks. Danny, thank you.
You're welcome.
As always, I like when you're rested and everything.
You mean when I'm not upset over a guy?
Both.
That's the only time I'm in a bad mood ever.
Both.
Well, I'm not. The only time I'm not rested is when I'm crying myself to sleep. Okay?
Yeah. Okay. Well, don't. All right, everybody. See you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.